Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, new customers, when you sign up using promo code DNVR, you can place a $5 bet, and when you win, boom, $200 in bonus bets instantly with promo code DNVR, only with DraftKings Sportsbook. I am your host for the day, Patrick Lyons, but I'm also joined by a co-host, and not another co-host, because unfortunately, we have lost Susie. We'll talk about at the end of the episode about the loss of life to the podcast, not to real life.
Right, right. Yeah, Susie is always on the move, man. She's a busy girl. I am considerably more available. I'm around, brother.
You so are.
Happy to be here and help out.
Brendan Vo from DNVR Nuggets and DNVR St. Louis Cardinals. So you have got that covered as well.
Yeah, you probably just got me fired by saying that, I think. I think those are two words we're not allowed to put next to each other. But I'm happy to be here talking rocks, baby.
Talking we are going to talk rocks. Lost today, unfortunately, 3-1 in a incredibly quick game. We'll talk about that and the implications of the pitch clock that we've seen so far. Two straight losses, but they started the season off 2-0, the only team to have two wins through Friday. And yet still, because of, you know, interdivision play, Rockies at 2-2 are tied for first place. Yay!
Stop the count, Patrick. I like where they're sitting.
Let's go. It. Yeah.
Can there be a four-way tie for first place?
We'll sort it out. I can't even imagine a four-game season. Like, the NBA season is closer to four games than it is 162 games.
That might be true, actually. Well, don't tell the players that, though. They feel like it's a little too long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, Rockies 2-2. We'll talk about our favorite moments from the weekend. It's just so good. We were talking, you know, before we went on air, just about what this time of the year means, and it just all aligns really well with the beautiful weather in Colorado, the home opener coming, but the return of baseball and just what it means with life, right?
Dude, the sun starts coming out, you know. I was scooting into work today, which I love to do on a sunny day. Shout out Scooter Gang.
Literally scooter.
Scooter.
Literally scooting.
Literally scooting on my personal scooter. That's what's up. And listening to the Rockies game in my AirPods as I was on my way to the bar. The sun was shining. I got the sounds of the ballpark in my ear. I see people walking their dogs and their babies. I'm like, man, we're back. You know, life is back.
Absolutely. So your version of the guy on the skateboard listening to Fleetwood Mac
right.
is listening to Jack Corrigan, yeah. Jerry Schemmel
That's
on
right.
a scooter.
On a scooter, man. Those
That's
are some
Denver,
of my,
man.
Some of my favorite Denver vibes.
That's absolutely fantastic. Rockies did lose today 3-1.
Oh, yeah.
Both teams only got four hits. You like to see Ryan McMahon getting a home run, thwarting the shutout from Seth Lugo, who looked great.
Yeah,
a guy who's pretty much been in the bullpen the last 5 years with the New York Mets. Didn't really get a chance to have an opportunity to be back in the starting rotation. That was one of the things the Padres promised him. They're probably gonna have like a 6-man rotation. So, you know, again, you win 2 out of 4, you feel good because it's a road series. Rockies last year in their 24 road series, they only were able to come away with a complete series win 5 of those 24 games. I think they had 3, you know, splits of some type. So even just a tie, even just going 2-2, going into LA, at worst, you're going to be 2-4. And then hopefully, you know, at best, obviously 4-2, but you'll take a split in LA with what they've got coming up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Tough opponents. Wins you want to start the season. I think a split's a good result.
Yeah.
Today, it's a weird day to say it on now, but encouraging stuff, I think, from the lineup more or less, particularly CJ Cron, who even his outs are loud right now, man. Even his outs are loud.
He's unbelievable. There's a really cool account that I think you would dig in. And it's okay if you don't throw it a follow until summertime, until you're fully out of, you know, your nugget zone. But it's called Would It Dong.
Yeah, yeah. I'm familiar.
It's great,
it's
right?
Great account, dude.
I was explaining it to my dad, and he was like, yeah, but the guy hit a home run. What do you mean it's only 1/30th of a homer? I'm like, no, but then there's going to be other times in which you hit a fly ball. And like last year, there was a day where Ryan McMahon hit a fly ball out right to left center, you know, center fielder, his back was to the wall and it was an out.
Right.
And I told him, I was like, are you familiar with Would It Dong? And he said, don't tell me 29 out of 30. I was like, yeah, only Coors Field that was an out.
Coors.
So everywhere else. So you get 29 30ths of a home run. If you want to look at those things, and again, that's really just analytics for, did you get a little lucky or maybe you were unlucky because of the ballpark. So Crone hit three out last night in a big spot, hit one to the warning track. That really had the juices flowing in that game on Saturday night. Hit another one to the warning track on Sunday. So for a guy who played only about 13 games this spring training because of some injury issues, he had some back issues along with Chris Bryant and Charlie Blackmon, all the guys over 30. How's your back, Brendan? Okay.
Not good. And I turn 30 in a month, and I can feel it in the back. Thanks for asking.
All right. That's okay, but again, these guys in Colorado, they're over 30. They're hitting the ball really well.
That's
so
good.
You are still in line to win your second consecutive home run derby.
I was just going to say, let's run it back, man. Let's run it back. That's the only place I get good hacks in anymore. So
the last thing I see before I go to bed on my headboard is just the still frame of you celebrating and the highlights. And it's just a reminder like, okay, there's 172 days until I can maybe take back the home run crown.
I
can't
ruined
allow
your
it to
day.
Happen two in a row.
I ruined your day. The worst part is I'm not good. So if we run it back, I'm sure it's yours.
We'll see. We'll see. I've got a goal here, but
no shoes is the trick. That's
oh yeah,
what
you
I
did
learned.
Go barefoot.
Yeah,
that was pretty nice. Check that video out from last year. But Crone with the two home runs on opening day. We had kind of talked about it on Thursday. I threw it out there. It always feels good, even if you just ask a question. And then it like comes true where you're like, oh, now we need to know that answer. It feels like you predicted it, I feel like, in a way. So I said, hey, is anyone going to hit two home runs on opening day? You know, Vinny Castilla did it in 98 at Arizona, and Trevor Story did it 2016 also at Arizona. Will someone do it today? If so, who would it be? And then Crone goes and hits two home runs, and it's like, all right, I'll take that. I'll put a little feather in my cap just for asking the question.
At DNVR Nuggets, we would say that's your assist. That's your assist.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take an assist on that one.
He looks great. Last time in my limited appearances on this show, I wondered, you know, at what point would the other foot drop a little bit, just in terms of how valuable and productive he's been.
But sure.
I think with the way he hit all season and to start now, it's like maybe I just underestimated what caliber of a player he is full stop. I mean, this is a guy I think you can just expect to produce within the context of baseball production.
Yeah, for CJ Crone, the biggest things for him to, you know, not have been an all-star before last year was he just wasn't healthy. That was a huge, huge piece. You know, had a couple hundred-plus game seasons, but just kind of didn't fit in. And then when he came to Colorado, he got very comfortable. Mm. Like, you know, not a ton of players, you know, enjoy talking to the media. They understand it's part of their job, and so CJ is kind of one of those guys. But it's, you know, it's just kind of whatever. Even when you're playing great, you're like, I don't like him any better now all of a sudden because the questions are a little bit easier and we're having fun. But he just got comfortable. And so as a baseball lifer, a dad who was a big leaguer and a brother who's played in the pros and has been up and down, you know, he's just really comfortable right now. And so at age 33, he's like a lot of, you know, Colorado Rockies first baseman, just aging like a fine wine. Mm. When he started at first base, that was his third consecutive opening day start at first base. Last time a guy had done it 3 years or more, Todd Helton.
Right.
They had a bunch of guys for 2 years in a row, but Crone's done it for three. And could I see him back next year? Sure, he's a free agent after the year. But again, it could be one of those situations. If the Rockies don't want to turn the keys over to somebody younger, they could go back to Crone. We'll wait and see what happens if he's one of those trade deadline guys. Last year, one of the reasons why he didn't get dealt, Rockies really got lowballed. Some of that I think is true. The other part is, sometimes you just got to take what you can get and be happy with that because it's going to help you in the future with your organization. But he got hit on the hand in Arizona, I want to say July 6th. And so a lot of teams, you know, were kind of worried about the impact of that. And You kind of saw it in the second half numbers. And so you worried that that was going to kind of carry over into 2023 with the back issues in the spring, but not the case whatsoever. Five RBI on opening day. He's got seven RBI right now after four games. So he is locked in. And I think, you know, picking up where he left off statistically over the course of the season, I think a lot of people are going to start talking about him a lot more because it's like a safe pick. It's like, oh, he was an all-star last year. He was mashing the ball. So it's like, people know who CJ Krohn is. Now, he's almost like a sneaky one of those guys of who do you think about when you think about the Colorado Rockies?
Right, right.
For some hardcore baseball fans who aren't immediately going to Charlie Blackmon and may remember Chris Bryant, even though he only played 42 last year, CJ Krohn is probably the next name on that list.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think it's the guy. It's the guy, right? If there's a tight spot, you're probably going to hope CJ's up to bat or due up at some point in the inning. And, you know, it'd be awesome if they can keep him. And I get, look, I'm sure he's going to get a lot of attention in free agency. I don't know if there are any scenarios in which, you know, a trade is on the table, but this is a guy I think people around the league are going to start talking about. Like, hey, he's sitting there in Colorado. You know, I think he could help us quite a lot. And I think more and more teams are probably going to pick up on that. The other thing too, 33, right? You said,
yeah.
You know, a first baseman these days, a guy who's getting comfortable, really figured out his swing, those peaks can ride out, man. You know, it's not like he's bumping up against the wall. So you'd have to think whether it's the Rockies or another team in baseball, people are really starting to recalibrate their understanding of what you can expect from him.
Yeah, and guys are having longer careers.
Certain players
are having longer careers. Paul Goldschmidt last year at age 35, MVP. Albert Pujols, like, goes out on top. David Ortiz did it a while back. And now that you've got the designated hitter in both leagues, now no longer, well, only half the teams could possibly be interested in CJ Krohn. His defense is a lot better than A, first advertised, and B, what we saw in 2021. Mm. So he has a lot of value. It's really just up for the Rockies to not worry about, did we lose this deal? You've got something that's expiring at the end of the year.
Yeah.
That, again, you should be turning the keys over to Michael Tolia at first base, a Gold Glove Award caliber kind of guy, and just take what you can get to a degree.
It didn't seem like they liked any of the offers they heard at any point last year. So no. Maybe time to adjust the expectations a bit.
A little bit. Expectations for Austin Gomber are kind of interesting this year. You know, he's working on a two-seam fastball that we're going to see next week when he makes his Coors Field debut, still throwing a four-seam fastball on the road. He looked really good on Sunday, did have that third inning where he gave up three runs, gave up two home runs, but he got some length, you know, still able to go into the sixth inning. So that's a very promising start for Austin Gomber because the Rockies are going to need somebody else to pair with Herman Marquez and Kyle Freeland, who were so solid those first two games.
Yep.
Jose Urania, not so much. I think he'll be okay. Ryan Feltner had a rough spring, so we'll kind of wait and see what happens. I think that's one of the reasons why the Rockies kind of went with two long relievers. They went with Ty Block. And then they also went with another starter in Connor Siebold. So that's one of the reasons we didn't see Siebold at all this weekend. So I think they're saving him for Monday in Los Angeles, where Ryan Feltner is going to go against Michael Grove. So the pitching, you know, still really solid on the road, which it should be, right? At home is where the question marks are going to come up and you might struggle a little bit. But on the road in San Diego, a little bit more of a pitcher's friendly ballpark, you know, that's got to make you feel good. And I know we felt really good earlier today while watching some of the Rockies game, watching the women's national championship game here on the corner of Colfax and York, where, you know we love the diehard deal.
Oh, yeah, man.
We love the, it's only this much. And then kind of the table looks like, wait, they just took 15% off like our entire tab. And they kind of share those quick little looks. And it's like, no, you're a diehard. You get 15% off your food and your drink. When you're here, 20% off the merch too. Like,
right.
That's another one.
Wait, there's merch? Oh yeah, there's a podcast studio. Wait, look, come over. We've got to have a conversation.
Here. Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun. 20% off the takeovers, any of the tailgates that we have. We really only do tailgates for the Broncos. I mean, it's not a big tailgate culture for the Nuggets or Avs. That's the thing in Colorado. You don't really tailgate other than Broncos games, whereas in so many other cities around the U.S., you can tailgate.
You should have seen the tailgate for the Rapids takeover yesterday.
Oh, well, yeah?
That's the
was
one.
Was it popping?
Oh, my gosh.
I love that. I love that. And that's a good result, one. Too. Yeah. A good result. Up the pits, baby.
That's it. We'll take a 0-0 tie. I wanted to ask Susie, like, you know, what it was like watching a game in which nobody scored, but yet the home crowd was happy about that, right? Like, oh, that's a good thing. All right, that's soccer.
Hey, they needed that. Some more goals, but I won't be greedy. I won't be greedy.
Accordion bus? I mean, rolling out the red carpet. I mean, there's nothing classier than an accordion bus going to a Rapids game. But again, you get 20% off that as well. And we've got our own coming up on April 29th,
Sunday. That's so awesome. Baseball, I think, is built for this kind of event.
Right.
And just laying out at the park, making a day of it, making some friends. Maybe you're lasered in on the game. There's a lot of different ways to take in a baseball game, but taking it in together as a big group, I'm really pumped for the Rockies takeovers, man, particularly this one coming up.
Yeah, and you know, today's game was 2 hours and 3 minutes. Hopefully we get a little bit more baseball than that on Saturday. But the cool thing is, you know, before the game, we'll be here at the DNVR bar, and the Breck Brew will be aflowing. Maybe it's an Avalanche Ale because it's still kind of their time right now. But then post-game, the bus is going to take you back. And again, if you're a diehard, you're getting 20% off that Breck Brew, that Avalanche Ale. So you know what? They might stop selling beer over at Coors Field in the seventh inning, but it doesn't stop at the DNVR bar. It doesn't stop with the Avalanche Ale. If you need to get some at home, go to the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com, and you can find out where Colorado's company, Colorado Ingredients, made with 100% renewable energy. Find out where you can get that at the Beer Locator at breckbrew.com. To find a Breck Brew near you.
You're so good at reads, man. I always forget. Every time I come back, I'm like, dude, this guy's smooth.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you saying that I'm good with ad reads and I'm smooth, because there's nothing smoother than Fubo TV. That doesn't, it not works, a, but it's not great.
Not your best, but we'll give it to
it
you.
It works. Like, for some people, that's pretty good. Right? That's their transition. No, Fubo TV. So a couple people in the office have gotten subscriptions.
Yeah.
Have you been one of the select few?
Not yet. I do all of my sports watching at the corner of York and Colfax.
That's it. I do it at Colfax in York, but that's just me. All right. That's good. Just me. No
semantics.
So I've been using Fubo TV. That's how I watched the entire World Baseball Classic and like ruined the start of my baseball season. Cause it's like, no, there's only so many days left before opening day and the home opener. And it's going to be a lot. So go to bed early. And I couldn't, because yes. Fubo made it super easy to keep up on the Nuggets and Avs, keep up on the World Baseball Classic.
So good.
MLB Network is there for me. There's always games going on Fubo TV. I've been able to watch a couple different shows. I've talked about it before. The Dana Carvey Show.
Yeah.
Did you know that was a show?
No, I didn't. Didn't know you still did
yes.
that.
Yes. They made a documentary. I think it's called Too Good to Fail, because they had like a murderer's row of writers and performers all before they really hit it big. Louis C.K. was a producer. Mm. Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert. They were all on the Dana Carvey Show. It's amazing. And Fubo has that. That's like one of the only places you can go to get it. So that's how I've been spending a lot of my free time. Staying up late, watching a lot of baseball, Dana Carvey Show. It's all thanks to Fubo TV. Head over to FuboTV/DNVR. And you can watch the Nuggets and Avs on Altitude Sports. The link is in the description. And you know what? You're going to get 15% off.
That's
on top of all that. Did you get a chance to see the Kyle Freeland play?
Sure
the
did.
Kyle Freeland play. Now, a couple days ago, the Kyle Freeland play was him striking out Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, that's true.
That in the World Baseball Classic. And I thought, it's going to be really hard to top that highlight. And I'm kind of like, Crone hitting two home runs on opening day is pretty great. I feel like just because it's regular season, maybe it should be higher. But you can make the case that it's kind of tied. But that, I mean, Kyle Freeland play coming off the mound, it was amazing.
Yeah, who says pitchers and baseball players aren't athletes, man? Particularly Kyle, that play was ridiculous.
Yes.
Derek Jeter-esque. There's a little segue fodder.
There you go.
But maybe even a bit better. So athletic though. I sat next to Kyle Freeland at a Nuggets game once pregame before the game started.
Nice.
And I'm not just humble bragging. I say that to say you can tell, man, if you've seen the guy and you're up close, this is an athlete. No, this is an athlete, not sometimes we think of pitchers as these very narrowed in kind of skill set and athletics, but this guy can do it. And that play was incredible, man. And it's really fun to get something like that right off the bat.
Rob Zombie may have said to that play, it was more human than human. But Charlie Blackman said it was more Jeter than Jeter.
More Jeter than Jeter. Well, Jeter's,
great quote.
To this day, you know, jury's still out on how necessary that was.
Oh, his jump throw?
Yeah, versus Freeland's, which I think he had to do.
I have more of an offense, and this is really where we could battle here. I have more offense with Jim Edmonds, and we've talked about that. I think he was more of a guy.
Catch he ever made.
Yeah, it's like the ball was, you know, over the second baseman's head before you even took a step, and you're like, come on.
He couldn't wait to dive.
He was like a wide receiver, like on the sideline, where he would just stand in place and then lean forward and like fall over. And you're like, you weren't even running towards the ball, dude. Man.
It makes a lot of sense too now because, you know, he's been in the booth for some cards games, and I'm learning a lot about him. Maybe more than I wanted to learn about him. Old childhood hero.
Yeah, no, that play was just absolutely amazing.
So cool, man.
Freeland looked great. He was amazing. Brent Suter, another lefty who looked great. Two scoreless innings on Sunday. Three total scoreless innings. Still don't know what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing in getting rid of him. Just completely waived him. He's an interesting guy, and we'll talk about him plenty this season. He's a huge Jim Carrey guy. Do a Google search of like Brent Suter, Jim Carrey, see him doing like so many impressions of Jim Carrey. And it's a very good impression as well.
Will do. He's amazing. He kind of, you know what? Right off the bat, he's got the face. He's got the like kind of elastic.
Elastic like, is the word.
Smile, you know?
Even when talking with him, and didn't have anything to do with Jim Carrey, he just has like those mannerisms.
Totally.
He really does.
That's a fun guy to have around.
He's very fun. It was also fun on Saturday. So the Padres open up their gates a couple hours earlier than normal to have the San Diego State game on the Jumbotron.
Sweet.
Alan Trejo, who's a San Diego State grad, I think he actually did go back and graduated. He went and got San Diego State jerseys for himself, Bud Black, who is an Aztec, and head trainer for the Rockies, Keith Duggar. Got them all, you know, jerseys, and you know, they watched the game. And it was like right before first pitch that they won. You saw Bud Black celebrating, and he made a deal with Trejo, and he said, probably after he gave him the jersey, he's like, Alan's such a good kid. You know what, Alan? If San Diego State wins, you can exchange the lineup cards. San Diego State won, and you saw Trejo come out. He had on the Aztec jersey, exchange lineup cards, which players just don't do. Like,
right.
I don't know why they don't like kind of make more of a thing out of that.
That's a good point, actually.
I mean, sometimes there are ground rules and stuff, but you get that out of the way almost at the beginning of the series, and then the umpires can really like talk with the managers on the side, or the coaches get that out of the way, make it more ceremonial. It happens occasionally, but it should probably happen a lot more. So that was really fun that that Trejo got a chance to do that. I really love that.
Go Aztecs. Shout out Chris Marlowe as well in Nuggets Nation, who's thrilled. Shout out me and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, because I was also thrilled that the Aztecs won.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I was thrilled with the last second swing.
That's fun. That was a good one. So a couple Rockies, too. Now's maybe a good time to jump into this randomness. There's like more Rockies around the league right now than ever before. The last couple years, it really started. Like, it really goes to show you how good they were. You know, a little bit in 16, 17 and 18 when they went to back-to-back postseasons. Had kind of a roster crunch. Some guys got, you know, dumped around. But it seems like never before there's so many former Rockies just making teams. Garrett Hampson made the opening day roster for the Marlins. Taylor Motter made it for the St. Louis Cardinals. He wasn't a Rocky very long. Raimel Tapia made the Red Sox roster. Sam Hilliard, of course, for Atlanta. We saw David Dahl in San Diego. That was really neat for his first time back in the big league since 2021. Connor Joe in Pittsburgh. And then two guys that we should end up seeing, although Corey Dickerson did just go on the IL. But Chad Kuhl did make the starting rotation for the Washington Nationals. So maybe Dickerson will be around. So Kuhl and Dickerson, two former Rockies, that will be here starting Thursday for that home opener. Nats, Rocks. Should be good.
It's crazy. It kind of speaks to an overarching dynamic with this team over the years. I've noticed where there's been some ineptitude on large scale in terms of team building. But ironically, there have been a lot of winning role players that have come through.
Yeah.
You know, people who you could place them as contributors on winning rosters. You know, the teams they built as a whole leave much to be desired. But there have been some good players, man, that have come through. And I'm always curious to what extent, I would sure at this point, Rockies fans are mostly glad to see those guys thriving, glad for them. But it's probably tough to watch as well.
Yeah, that is very true of Rockies fans. Like, they support their players pretty much no matter what. Like, I mean, people just still love Tulo, and he was done dirty, so that's that. Arenado is probably like one of the only guys that ever went elsewhere, and still there's just overwhelming amount of support, I think, for him, but there's probably a bigger anti-Arenado, which even still, that isn't really even anti. It's just not pro-Arenado.
Right.
It's so small.
How much of that, too, is just bitter taste in the mouth by the deal itself?
Yes.
You know, if that was a more palatable deal, I would imagine all these years later, it's more of like good for Nolan, you know?
Yeah. And I think, imagine if you were to go back in time and create some kind of butterfly effect where, you know, he ends up staying. Does it still end up falling apart? Mm. Is this story still end up going? Because now can the team afford to pay Nolan and Trevor Story? And okay, maybe you get Gray instead of Story or Story instead of Gray, and you still are just lacking so much depth at the top end of your farm system. Like, we're seeing that. There's a reason why back in 2019, maybe not 2019 as much, but 2020, 2021, the Rockies farm system was viewed as, you know, a bottom third system. And if, you know, a lot of people like to say, there's just this, a lot of bias against the Rockies system. And sure, it is a little bit flashier to say, hey, I like this Yankees prospect more than whatever. We're talking about a couple points. Dick Monfort actually mentioned that. That was one of the things that he set up in Greeley in January. And I don't know if I mentioned it at all. And I don't think it was like written about, was, you know, he pointed out, hey, Anthony Volpe, you know, go back and look at the numbers. Ezekiel Tovar had better numbers in the Eastern League than Anthony Volpe. And I think that's true. I think the numbers maybe did skew a little bit more towards, you know, Ezekiel Tovar. But if you look at two 21-year-old shortstops, who's going to get better at the big league level? Because the Yankees players do get better. They do get help. They do get support. They do have the resources to make guys, you know, continue to improve at the big league level. Whereas with the Rockies, you almost have to be a finished product yourself, because guys don't continue to develop when they're in the big leagues with the Rockies. I mean, the Dodgers are one of those teams that get that credit, and they're betting on it big time this year because they've got all these reclamation projects. But we've seen it in the past with Max Muncy and Justin Turner last year, Tyler Anderson, Chris Taylor in the past. So like, they're able to do that. So the idea that, you know, oh, well, we're just going to crap on the Rockies because it's easy to do that. If there's no evidence that these guys aren't very good,
right?
There just isn't any evidence. And we're seeing it now because the Rockies had to go out and get six players for their opening day roster after January 1st because they didn't have any depth from the guys that they had drafted and developed. And then they also shot themselves in the foot by not making any trades at the deadline. So go back and look and say, oh, actually, you know what? Those prospect prognosticators, they were actually right with how good the farm system was.
Yeah, right. You think to yourself, who are you more likely to actually hear from X amount of years later? And all the factors you just pointed to, they matter. They pop up. I really think the failure to keep that pipeline moving, that train moving, the prospect one is among the biggest sins. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, the relationships with Nolan and how it went, and what the trade had to be and how bad it was, you know, who the money went to and who it didn't go to. Plenty of things to complain about. But I really think if you're just looking forward, forget lamenting what's happened already. That's arguably the biggest sin and the biggest failure, was just that train never kept moving.
Yeah.
Because you get to a point where, like you just said, you're making a lot of moves right before the start of the season just to fill out a roster.
Yeah. Yeah, that just wasn't a good look. I mean, I think we talked about it on Thursday on opening day. The Rockies played down a man the first 3 days of the season. Jerickson Profar hadn't arrived until last night. We finally got a chance to see him today on Sunday. You know, he hit leadoff, so that was great. Played in left field as he was, you know, expected to be for this team when they signed him back on March 21st. But it was such a short window to not only sign him, kind of ramp him up a little bit, because although he was active during the World Baseball Classic, he played four games, and that was it. You know, had a lot of travel, 30 hours back and forth from the U.S. To South Korea, or actually I think that was in Taiwan. So it just, it wasn't like a great fit. It was like, we just need somebody for left field. And he wasn't there, and he had no option. So you literally went out with 25 guys on a 26-man roster, and that's almost unheard of, because that'll happen maybe for a day because somebody's, you know, trying to get in, you know, from a minor league city and just can't, whatever it is. But we're talking about like the start of the season. We're like, all right, let's get all of our ducks in a row. Let's get all the chess pieces where they need to be and where they need to belong. And still, you're short a guy. So, you know, that is a little bit of mismanagement there.
I mean, it's a small piece in a larger puzzle. that's really starting to take shape here, and it's not a very pretty picture for the Rockies. Of just look, the national analysts, a lot of the analysis comes down to like it's a mess over there, and that is not a great example to argue otherwise.
Yeah, very true. It can be messy at times for sure. Not if you use Game Time Ticket app because that is the spot to go, especially for events right before they're about to start. 60 minutes before an event starts, you can get up to 60% off using the Game Time Tickets app, or just use the link that's in our description. It scratches our back. We're glad to scratch yours so you can get a nice little bit of savings there. With these games going so short, we've kind of talked about it. I've sort of planted this idea that, you know, some of the Avengers movies are like 3 hours long. A baseball game is now less than a movie.
There we go. It can be. So now
you're hanging out at a bar. You're at the DNVR bar. Maybe you're somewhere else nearby. And it's like, you know, an hour and a half until the game starts. You can go and maybe you do leave early. Okay, whatever. That's fine. That's your choice. But if you end up staying and it's only like 2 hours, 15 minutes, it's pretty nice. That's pretty convenient. And you can even see from these prices, very convenient pricing. The return of Nolan Arenado starts at $4 on Monday. $4, $6, $6. Like anywhere you go, you can get some really good seats. And those prices are going to go down a little bit.
This is how I'm getting myself. This is how I'm getting myself inside right here.
This one's opening day, right, Tiffany?
Yep.
Okay. So how much is it right now to get in the door? 48 is the cheapest?
48 is the cheapest, yeah.
Okay. I have heard that. I have heard that there are a couple seats that are still available, so it's not sold out just yet. So so that could come down a little bit. And again, you can go to opening day the home opener. Let's make sure we're accurate because there's only one day that's opening day.
That's right.
But you go to home opener, or you can go to like 10 other games for $4 a piece thanks to Game Time Ticket apps. Yeah. You know, why not? You know, who's counting? Over 15 million people actually have been counting. They've given it some amazing reviews online. That's where they get their best seats for all kinds of events. $15 was my first show at Red Rocks thanks to Game Time Tickets.
That's ridiculous.
Believe it or not. We should have gotten you some Shady Rays right now because the sun's coming in. It's hitting you a little bit. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you were the first person to lose their glasses, but then you also found them
didn't you? I found mine, yeah. I'm actually a notch above Susie in that regard. I lose my stuff too, but I find my stuff quicker than she does.
That's nice. Yeah, those look great.
These are super producer Tiffs. Are these Shady Rays?
Yeah.
Look at that.
I can see it on the side. It's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's fantastic.
I feel much better now.
Yeah, they got a buy one, get one deal right now. That's amazing. If you use the link in our description, you can head over to the Park Meadows Mall. You get 50% off two pairs of polarized glasses. It's rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people, probably because they're going to make sure you're taken care of. So if you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they're going to send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. Wear Shady Rays with confidence because they've got your back long after the purchase. And if you don't like them, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them free within 30 days. So you're going to like them. But you know what? If you need to like kind of see them on your face a little bit, that's fine. Go ahead and return them if you don't want. Or again, go to the Park Meadows Mall so you can see what these shades look like. They're fantastic. I love my pair. I brought a more of a functional pair. So I wear it when I'm running. So that's like a full face Macho Man kind
of
style.
Do.
It's amazing. You never know if you need to jump off the top rope. You know what I'm saying? That's where it goes down with. Let's take a look around all of MLB because the season has started. As you said, sunny day, hope springs eternal. It's amazing. The new rules have been in effect in a lot of different ways. The Mets-Marlins series, I feel like there was something every day in that game.
Yeah.
Jeff McNeil was charged a strike, automatic strike, because his teammate took too long to get back to first base.
That's got to be frustrating.
That's weird.
Hitting's pretty hard, I've noticed. I don't know if they need that factor hanging over their heads. But hey, I'm not going to complain with the pace of play we've seen either.
Pete Alonso, his nickname is also the Polar Bear. Polar Bears are not known for their quickness, let alone for the quickness to get back to first base.
Is that true? I think their top speed might actually be pretty gnarly, but I'd imagine you're right about acceleration.
But like first to third, what's the first to third speed?
Yeah.
And first to home? I'm going to need that. How many feet per second? Is it, you know, are we talking elite speed?
I don't know if I'm going to get this in baseball terms. Polar bears can go 25 miles per hour.
I need it. Can you figure out in feet per second?
No, I can't.
I could, but the show would come to a grinding halt.
That's your department, brother. I'm not doing math on the air. But 25 is a lot, and it's faster than Alonso, I think.
Might be. Thomas Nito, Mets catcher, hitter came up to the plate and he was just kind of BSing with him and still stood up. Catchers don't need to like squat down.
I didn't
but
realize.
But the hitters need to be ready with their eyes forward with 8 seconds. And because of that, the hitter was not ready and therefore, boom, strike on him. I like that deep.
Do you think that was gamesmanship?
No, I think that might have been just a coincidence.
Just
like,
a coincidence.
That guy probably felt bad. He's like, shoot, I wanted to use that one against the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe on April 23rd. Like, you know.
Yeah. Sorry for asking how your kids are doing. That's my bad.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little strategy. The conversations are a lot shorter.
Mm.
That actually may have to be a question. CJ Cronin's not too chatty. You have to be a little bit if you're a first baseman. But I'll just have to ask some of the guys who've been on base, like, have you noticed the conversation's been a little bit briefer?
Right.
Are you getting to the point a lot quicker? What's the deal with that? What's the conversation like? Same thing I like on second base. You see sometimes, if there's a review, that might be the time. I'm like, okay, right. We're doing a review. We've got 2 minutes. Hey, what's going on after the game? Where are you guys meeting up at? Like,
right,
that's
right.
The time.
That's when, yeah. But no longer the catcher cordiality anymore.
Yeah. Do you think a combined no-hitter is a no-hitter? Do you have an issue with that?
It is absolutely not a no-hitter.
Whoa.
No one hit the ball. No one got a hit. So I can see the hang-up semantically. But it's not a no-hitter.
So in the World Series, because the Astros used, I think, 4 pitchers, it wasn't so much that the Astros threw a no-hitter. It was that the Phillies got no hit.
Correct. The Phillies, Phillies, they came up empty. They went hitless. But no one pitched a no-hitter.
So it was an empty hitter. Is that?
That's what I'm saying.
It was instead of a no-no, it was an amp.
Listen, man, if a relief pitcher comes in and it's a three-out inning, 1-2-3, did they throw a no-hitter? They did not. They pitched one inning of baseball.
Then my question to you is, how many walks is too many walks in a no-hitter?
Well,
for a pitcher.
Jack Flaherty pushed it.
He did, right?
Yeah. And he hit a guy as well, I think.
That's like wild. He's like, man, they couldn't hit me out there. I was like, yeah, because it was either behind the backstop or we were just afraid and you just threw it high and in and you caught a corner of the zone.
Yeah, and then I think the Cardinals graphic after the game was like, no hits allowed for Jack. They didn't show the walk
total. It's like, it doesn't, a hit is like, is just getting on base. That's it. Like, hits aren't that important. Really, in a sense, like we still look at batting average, but on base percentage is way more.
Hey, are you getting on or are you not? Listen, man, it did not feel like that fellow was on his way to a no-hitter watching the game.
No.
It was tight.
My buddy was there, but we'll have him on next week because he was in St. Louis for opening day. So he'll be here next week when St. Louis comes to town.
Nice.
Talking about that. And yeah, he texted me, he said, take a look at that stat line.
It was something.
And I looked and I'm like, I saw no hits. And I was like, it's only a no-hitter through 3 innings. And I saw the walks. I'm like, oh, this is interesting.
Oh, it was, he spent the entire outing pitching himself out of a jam. It was impressive.
Yeah. Did you see Anthony Rendon getting handsy with a fan?
I did see that. The fan was wilted pretty quick, but I wonder also what the chances are that he got the wrong fan versus that guy just cowering. But I'm just curious.
Mal's at the Palace situation.
Yeah, like I think
ran by the wrong guy.
It's probably all very easy to pick the wrong guy out of the crowd.
Which is why, kids at home, if you ever become a big leaguer and play at the Oakland Coliseum on game 2, or actually on opening day and there's only 1,000 people there, don't go into the stands.
Yeah.
You don't do that. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even remember the last time anything like that has happened, honestly. I think it was 2021 where... It was like the guard, or maybe it was early last season. Guardians, Yankees, the bleachers were chirping at Miles Straw,
right.
And
that's
I think
right.
He like climbed up on the wall and got in the guy's face. But that was it. It was just like you're talking the talk. Yeah, well, you suck. Be respectful because Stephen Kwan had just gotten hurt, so it was last year at the beginning of last year because Kwan was a rookie. But like that was it didn't go over the line, but it was getting there, which is not great. That's okay.
But the fistful of shirt, I don't know if I've seen that.
I can't even remember the last time something like that has happened. It's so rare. I mean, in basketball, I feel like that happens once in a while. It's through the tunnel. The tunnel's the spot.
Yeah.
Maybe you slap a cup out of someone's hand, right?
You know what they're doing now is they're just getting people ejected mid-game. They're just pointing to them, and they're just saying, enough out of that one. Get them out of here.
I'm kind of okay with that. If
yeah,
you're a jerk.
You never know what they're saying, man. Some people take it real far.
Yeah. 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 That will be interesting. MLB is investigating that. Anthony Rendon, just not a good look for the Angels, who was hoping to get to our MLB preview. We'll preview the 2023 season, maybe at the All-Star break. Maybe we'll figure out how to have some time for that. I actually have the Angels going to the postseason. We all want it to happen, so I might as well pick that to be the one. It was either Twins or Angels as like that team that is that's on the periphery that's not going to be a lock, and I lean Angels more than Twins just because you want that to happen.
Well, good luck. You know, the Angels have never let anyone down or hurt them before.
Yeah, they are. The Mariners are the AL Rockies in a lot of ways, but I think the Angels are also very much like the AL Rockies, where you look at their roster, like, oh, they got some guys and they got some pieces. They also have an owner that can sometimes get a little bit more involved than they should, and they're just not getting it done. So there's a lot of similarities with that.
For the Angels, it's the meme ability. They get memed a lot because, I mean, even recently, Shohei's out there, like, people don't lose in that context. Of course, that the team lost that game. They're on the internet's I don't want to curse crap list with Trout and Shohei and what they haven't been able to accomplish.
Yeah, man, the only chance that the Angels have of re-signing Ohtani is if they go to the postseason. Other than that, I just don't think it's
yeah. It's just not even. It's not a wise decision for him.
No.
You know, he's got big things to accomplish, and you should go where they can be accomplished, you know?
He wants to win. Like, he legit wants to win. He doesn't want to just make money. Besides, he's getting more in endorsement deals than he is in his actual salary.
Yeah.
And on a long run yesterday, it's where all my best ideas will come to me. I'm like, you know what? There's a team out there, and it's the Los Angeles Dodgers, but there's a team out there that is already laying the groundwork now of, like, they're hiring. They're I can guarantee it. There's got to be someone in the front office somewhere who their sole job is to just calculate the impact of Ohtani.
Yep.
If we bring him in, what is the financial impact of selling these jerseys, of selling advertising space now to Japanese companies, all that opening up, you know, whole market in the Far East? What is the impact of that? And you say, well, the Dodgers were really quiet this offseason. They didn't sign anybody of value, and they're trying to get under the luxury tax threshold so that they can reset their clock and then not get fined and not lose draft picks. And you go, yeah, they're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. That'll be fun. But from his perspective, you can't knock it, you know. And in the NBA, it's a real point of discussion how we treat these guys on the cusp of winning. Should they force their way out? Should they just look for something else in free agency? But I think the Angels are in a situation where if your goal is to, you know, scrape greatness, write your name in the history books, it's pretty hard to do there at the moment, or at least it looks that way.
Yeah. Yeah, they got 11 runs the other, I think it was on Saturday, in an inning. Rangers on opening day got 9 runs. It was the first time a team on opening day had scored 9 runs in an inning, I want to say since 1996, the San Diego Padres did that. The reason I know is because that team was managed by Bruce Bochy. Who manages the Texas Rangers? Bruce Bochy. How about that for symmetry?
Look at Patty.
It's amazing. Go. Almost 30 years later, it ends up being that same guy. I'm curious if the pitch clock is the reason. Like, is that why we're having bigger innings? Is because you just got to get the ball and throw it? It's almost like a momentum thing now. Like in basketball, it's like, oh, we're on a 12-2 run here, and the team is just like running away with it. Is that going to happen a lot more? Because you can't really stop the clock as much. You can do the mound visits. You can do, you know, some of those things. But still, I'm wondering if we're going to see a lot more bigger innings this year because of the clock.
The cluster scoring really blowing up and getting out. Yeah, becoming a bigger scale thing. That's possible. That's a really interesting question. You know, with baseball, it's such a... there are just so many outcomes in play in any moment. And I think you need a pretty large sample size to really determine trends in a game that's just so wacky in terms of what could happen. But I think it's an interesting question and something to keep an eye on. The cluster scoring growing and growing.
Could be. The old cluster clock, as it were. Brandon, this has been a lot of fun.
It was great, man.
You remember what I called you last time as a sign off? What you are to the podcast? I gave you the name. And he called you the Shohei Ohtani of the DNVR Rockies. I called you something else. Do you remember who that player was?
No, I'm blanking already.
He played second base for the Toronto Blue Jays. It's not Roberto Alomar. It's Danny Ainge. You said you'd commit that to memory, man.
I didn't. I forgot.
NBA and MLB.
Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge. Also, Mark Hendrickson did that. He was a Rocky for a period of time and also played like five seasons in the NBA. So he's another one of those guys. Rare few can play basketball and baseball. That's kind of a weird crossover.
Well, like I said at the top of the show, I am not a particularly busy fella. I am around, Patrick. So if you need some help, holler. This was fun, man. It was fun to be on. I just love this time of year so much. You can feel it in the air. Hope for more sunshine. The seasonal depression disorder fading away.
Yes.
And just the sound of mitts popping and bats cracking just taking over, man.
Popcorn, pretzels, hot dogs, nachos.
Oh, the good stuff.
The good stuff. The Breck Brew, the Bones Highland Burger. They don't have that at Coors, do they?
No, they don't. They might not have that here anymore soon. Who knows?
I've been trying to rebrand it as the Ryan McSalmon Burger. Ryan McMahon? McSalmon Burger?
Yeah, no, we could do that.
Can you do that?
I was just going to go with the Boneless Highland Burger.
Okay.
But I think, there's something there.
Can we maybe even change the spelling of Highland to like Highlands Ranch?
The Boneless Highlands Burger.
And is it also served with a side of ranch? So that's it correct. Could be the Boneless Highlands Ranch.
You've done it. Go downstairs right now.
We did it. This has been a lot of fun. Follow us on Twitter at DNVR_Rockies. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at on Twitter.
I'm at Brendan Vogt on Twitter. And also, I'm about to go do the Nuggets show. So watch that game and watch us later.
Double duty. You're like Deion Sanders.
That's right, baby. Primetime. We coming. We're coming.
Neon Brendan Vogt. Nah, primetime's better. I like primetime.
Primetime.
You are primetime. We'll be back in primetime as we always are because we've got a little bit of momentum, but it's only as good as your next show. So, of course, we will see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. on the DNVR Sports Channel here on YouTube.